Sometimes we're funny, sometimes we suck.
Listen in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar. You can listen with your whole family. Do
what up, ladies and gentlemen? This is Dusty Angel, sitting here in the studio all by my lonesome. Heidi and I are catching up on some behind-the-scenes stuff, and we will be back with a brand new, fresh episode for 2016 for you next week. But in the meantime, I wanted to share this episode with you. A lot of the times I get asked, Dusty, what was your favorite interview? Who was your favorite person to talk to? And I have to say, without a doubt, it would have to be our interview with the legendary Freeway Rick Ross. Not the rapper Rick Ross, the original Rick Ross, basically the wholesaler of wholesalers of crack cocaine in the early 80s, pretty much in and around Los Angeles, and his empire just spread. He is synonymous, and his name is up there with names like Griselda Blanco, Frank Lucas, all those big dudes in the 80s. Very, very interesting interview. I think you will enjoy it if you haven't heard it already. If you've already heard it, listen to it again. I mean, the dude tells some amazing, amazing stories about basically being one of the biggest drug dealers in the early 80s. Hope you enjoy. Heidi and I will see you guys next week. Here is our interview with Rick Ross. That whole just say no movement, one of the reasons that was even in existence is because of the man we are about to introduce right now. He was the wholesaler of wholesalers when it came to crack cocaine in the 80s. If you touched crack cocaine in Los Angeles and many other parts of the country in the early to mid 80s, there's a very, very high chance this man had something to do with it. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Freeway Rick Ross. Come on through, my friend. Woo! Come on through.
It is a pleasure.
Have a seat. Yes, good to see you, man. Thank you for joining us. Go ahead and grab your headphones so you can hear everything.
So you can hear all the nonsense.
Yeah.
We're going to talk.
Good to see you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, glad to be here.
Long time coming, and thank you so much to my homegirl, Trish, who made all this possible.
Cool.
Now, Mr. Ross, I just want to kind of start from the beginning, man.
Let's go. He's ready.
Because I know.
So what you got for me, fool?
Yeah, because I know everything about this dude, man. Just growing up in L.A., it's kind of like he's a legend. You hear his name synonymous with, Frank Lucas on, the other side of the country, and, Griselda Blanco down in Miami. I mean, these are people who we grew up, fucking idolizing. Mm-hmm. I hate to say, I don't want to, but we grew up idolizing
people. Crazy.
Yeah, it is, right?
It is crazy.
So much so that there's a dude out there making millions of dollars off your name. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's so crazy to where how far your name has made it, man.
Yeah. You know, when I first started, I never would have thought that it would have grown into what it grew into. It's not something that I had sit down and planned or mapped out. It wasn't like that. It was like, I'm just going to make a couple bucks, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Get myself out of this position that I'm in, get myself a boost, and then it just like exploded, man, into something that, that you wouldn't even dream about in your wildest nightmares.
Yeah.
You're talking about a kid that, when I was a kid, I went to school with holes in my shoes and no lunch money. I had to sneak on the RTD bus.
RTD. I remember the RTD, man.
I remember the RTD,
LA
too.
I just had to sneak on the bus, man, because I didn't have bus fare to get home from school, you know, after a long day of playing tennis in school.
And
I'll be like...
Because you were a tennis prodigy, right?
I was trying to be a tennis pro,
Okay.
Wow.
I was kind of molding myself after Arthur Ashe.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And why tennis? Is that just what you were good at, or you just like?
Well, I wanted to play football. In the ghetto, there's only a few ways that we feel that we can get out.
Yeah. Basketball, football, rap, or whatever the case may be. Yeah.
When I was in the ninth grade of high school, I'd been playing tennis a couple of years, but none of the high school coaches looked at me in football for football, basketball. You know?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
When they came down and they were picking guys who they wanted on their teams, I didn't get picked.
Oh, yeah.
Because
okay.
I was a little guy.
Right, you know? Right.
So you said, fuck y'all, show you. Tennis motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So it started with the tennis and, you know, and then when tennis didn't pan out, it was cocaine.
You started.
And how did that come about? Who introduced you to... Who gave you your first bag? Like, what? How did that go about?
One of my big homies.
Okay.
You know, his name was Michael McLaurin. He went to Fremont High School. He was a couple years older than I was. Mm-hmm. And he got a scholarship in football and went off to college. And when he came back with this white powder, man.
Okay.
He said, fuck college. This is where the money's at.
Yeah. He didn't want to play football no more. He's like, man.
That shit's too much work. Training and shit.
Getting hit on and knocked around.
Yeah. This is much easier. And, I mean, but back then it was kind of seen as cocaine was more of a, like a rich man, mm-hmm. white man drug.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So very, very exclusive. You know, when I talk to some of the young kids now, they can't believe the prices that
it used to be back then. What was the price, like average gram of coke back then?
$350, $375 per gram.
Shit, that's
she's
that's
got me
80s
about a
money.
Bag of 20 bag of weed.
That's 80s money. What would that be today?
That would probably be double or
fucking
maybe even
triple.
Maybe even triple. But damn. It's reversed, I believe.
The value's gone down, but I'm talking about like the worth, you know?
Yeah.
$350
back
in
then,
the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably right now would be worth like $1,200.
God. So I'm curious because earlier you said that, you know, that basically you started doing this just to get by, you know, just to make a living, so to speak.
Yeah.
What was the turning point? Where did you see this explode? Or was it just a gradual process?
It was a gradual process. You know, when I first started, I figured I could make $5,000 and I could be good for the rest of my life.
Uh-huh.
Me and my partner, you know, mm-hmm. I had a partner that started with me. So we was like, oh, we make $5,000. We set for life. You know, we never had to do nothing else.
And what was this, $5,000 a month?
No,
oh, just $5,000
total.
Yeah, because back then they're just like, you know, $5,000 is a good little chunk.
I mean,
back
you're
then.
Talking about a guy that didn't have $50 in his pocket.
Yeah,
you know,
$5,000 back then. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know, I never saw $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd ever saw $1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know, you talk about $5,000. I'm like, ooh, $5,000, I can buy a house.
That's a nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You see, yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So you know, it was just like crazy. You know, and then you know, we made five, and then I said, well, we making like $300 every day. Let's make 20.
Damn, dude. $300
I
want to
make $300 a day now. Wow.
That's how it started, and it just kept, you know, roller coasting.
And was it crack at this time, or was it
both?
Both. Okay, because this was what year are we talking about?
81-ish.
Okay, because crack hit about I remember, I'm, you know, kind of a little bit older, but I remember L.A. hitting crack about 83, 84. So I was, that's probably when it hit the news, but it's already been.
Yeah, it had been there.
Okay,
it was there even before I started.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
But you know, at that time, they were doing what they call Ether Basin.
Oh, Free Base or whatever, right? Is that Free Base?
Well,
something like that?
Crack, because we didn't call it crack.
Okay.
You know, we used to call it ready rock.
Okay.
Rock cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
They used to what they call ether base.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so many chemicals to make it that somebody figured out that you could just do it with baking soda, and it was much, much faster. So it just flipped.
Oh, okay.
From there. And then at one
probably
time.
Probably cheaper, too, huh? Or about the same.
Not really cheaper, but just in the time, because freebasers are like, they want it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it was a mentality of the people that were doing it, because all the people were doing it was wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
And you know how wealthy people are. And
give
they
it
want
to me now.
Yeah.
Right mm-hmm. now. You mm-hmm. know, Rick James, give it to me right now, baby.
Fuck your couch. Yep.
So, now, yeah, go ahead.
So that's pretty much how it kicked off, you know, and it just like kept snowballing, you know, kept getting bigger and bigger and faster and bigger and faster and better. And
now were you working towards making it that big, or it was, like you said, just something that came almost like fell in your lap?
After I got started and I saw what I was doing, I was trying to make it big.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I ain't even gonna lie.
Yeah.
You said
smart
fuck
man.
5,000.
Smart
keep
man.
Oh, no. I started pooling all my money back mm-hmm. into the drugs.
Oh. You invested. He invested wisely.
I found out
smart man.
Compound interest.
There you go.
We're going to have to talk after this.
Now I want to bring this up because this is very important. You were illiterate all through high school, correct?
Yeah, totally.
So for a man to accomplish all of this and not even be able to, you know what I'm saying, read what people were putting in front of him, how did you even make it to $5,000? How did you even make it to $20,000? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I couldn't read, but I could count real well.
There you go, Matt. Yeah.
Whole different skill
like
set.
Yeah, you lose an eye, man. My ear sight is better, right?
And what I found out is that people, what do they have? What is it called? The word I'm looking for? They like compensate.
Yeah.
For weaknesses.
Oh yeah, that's mm-hmm. yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Overcompensate.
Yeah. Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So what I found out about myself is that I read people really well.
Okay.
You know, I was really good at reading people and figuring people out. And that became like one of my access.
That makes a lot of sense.
I was
going
to say that has to be absolutely pivotal in that industry because, it's horrible. I must imagine that you're always having to watch your back. Like, who can you
always.
Trust? Who can you not?
You can't trust really anybody.
Man.
Damn.
Because, you know, there's a thing that we say when I was in jail is that today's drug partner is tomorrow's snitch.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is what happened to you, essentially, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh,
and
man.
On several times.
Damn.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
Several
dude.
Times.
So to kind of get back to the beginning of everything, when did you get your first car, like your first Benz? Like,
I never bought.
You know what I mean? Like, how fast
I never bought a Benz for myself.
Okay.
I bought a few new cars, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like, you know, just like, playing cars.
Because, like, when did like you feel it? Like, I'm balling out of control. It. Like, I'm balling dumb.
I knew. The first thing I bought was a motel.
Okay, see, smart. Yeah,
you know, so I knew when I bought the motel mm-hmm. that I was wealthy.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, were you planning on eventually, because it seems like you were putting money in legitimate businesses, did you have plans on leaving the dope game and just hopefully
Absolutely.
Focus on?
You know, okay. I kind of mapped my career out after Superfly. I saw the movie
okay.
Superfly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, and in the movie Superfly, if you remember, he wanted out of the game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, he no longer wanted to be a drug dealer. And so with myself, I wanted out. And when I went into the drug business, I went in with the intention that I was not going to get stuck in the game because, you know, you hear so much about, oh, if you sell drugs, you know, the mafia going to own you.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be owned by anybody.
Right,
you
right.
know, I was selling drugs for freedom.
Mm-hmm. Okay. To get away from all this and hopefully live a legit life one day.
Right, right. Because what I found out is that when you're poor and broke,
mm-hmm.
you're not free.
Mm.
Nope.
Yeah.
You know,
that, hell yeah. For
oh,
real.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
shit.
We got kids right now in South Central that has never been to the beach.
Yeah.
That's true. And it's 10 miles away, maybe 12
yeah,
miles,
so,
if that. You know
so,
what I mean?
So that's kind of like being
that's
confined
nuts, yeah.
into a certain area, certain demographic,
mm-hmm.
and it's not really what I consider as freedom.
It's not growth
and that's
all
they
dude.
Know.
We have to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, I kind of want to talk about the explosion of everything, the middle of everything, when it was happening.
Went fast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. And I want to talk about just maybe some other drug dealers that you may have come in contact with. We don't have to name any names or anything, but I definitely want to get
That's
more
my
into
man,
it.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
Man.
Toddy T, man. Take it back. You're sitting here with Dusty and Heidi. Dusty and Heidi have issues. Sitting here with the legendary Freeway, Rick Ross. One of the main reasons, once again, why that whole movement was in, which didn't really work for me, the Just Say No movement, it just didn't work for me. One of the main reasons.
That made
reasons,
me want to smoke weed.
It did.
I don't even smoke weed, and that made me want to go and blaze it up with
exactly.
Dusty.
We're sitting here with the legendary Freeway, Rick Ross, and that's my lovely co-host Heidi. She's
like, she ain't legendary, bro.
Nah, she cool.
Yeah, she got me. She got
Mr.
me a
Ross,
beer and
he
some.
He knows what's up. I like
yeah.
Mr. Ross.
Yeah,
we gotta
cool.
have him on more often.
I agree with that for sure. Now, how many states did? Because you started in obviously in L.A., but I know it. Your, I guess, I don't know, franchise,
empire
kind of
Make it sound
went into other
man.
States. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, cocaine is, it's a funny drug. I mean, well you know what? Really, all drugs
mm-hmm.
has a way of moving around.
Yeah.
You know,
good
so.
Word travels, good shit travels fast, really. Hey.
I mean, even when I was in the pen, I was at USP Lompoc,
uh-huh.
One of the most secure penitentiaries in the country.
Okay.
And I was in the hole. which okay. is considered like a jail inside
yeah.
of a jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And while I was there, a guy OD'd.
In prison. Jail.
In prison, inside of the prison.
Shit.
So you're talking about...
Did you supply him that shit?
No, but...
He's all,
that's
I
how deep it
fifth.
Rolls. He was in the hole, and he was still getting drugs.
Yeah, yeah. Damn. Meaning that he had no that's contact with other
amazing,
inmates.
Amazing, but
when you're in the hole,
still,
you don't have contacts yeah. with other inmates. Mm. So
he still got God. It, man.
He was still crazy. Able to OD inside of there.
That's
so.
Crazy.
Well, we were actually on our drive up here, we were talking about Griselda Blanco and how even when she was, while she was incarcerated, she was still running all kinds of shit. You
yeah.
know what? And I was like, how? I mean, because my mind, I can't wrap my mind around the genius it takes to do something like
it
that.
It is a genius thing. Did you, now, being that you did spread into other territories, did you ever have any problems with any other, you know what I'm saying? Because the 80s, there was a lot of big name, you know what I'm saying, drug dealers in other cities, Chicago, Miami, New York, of course. Did you ever have any problems?
I've always been kind of seen like the forefront of the crack epidemic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the type of personality that would conflict with people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't really have conflict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a what do you call it?
Elusive?
No, not elusive, but like I'm trying to find ways for us to get along.
Non-confrontational. Oh. Yeah,
non-confrontational.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
good.
Absolutely. Okay.
So, I mean, I had pretty much of a run. I mean, almost like right now, you mm-hmm. know. I mean, it's like
same
crazy.
Same you, right?
You know, I go some places, man, and they just like open up the city for me. You know, it's like.
Wow.
Nice.
Unbelievable. I cannot believe the kind of love and respect that I'm getting. I mean, I'm just like overwhelmed that people accept me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
For mm-hmm. what I did, you know.
Mm-hmm. What did you do differently that the average drug dealer wasn't doing back then? How did you turn $0 into, I think your empire almost reached $600 million, if I'm not
yeah,
mistaken.
Yeah, that was, how, when I read that.
What did
I
you
made,
do? Yeah.
I made, my last 2 years, I made at least $1 million every day.
Every fucking day?
God damn.
And some days up to $3 million.
Jesus.
I wasn't into the cars. You know, I wasn't into the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You were smart. You didn't bring attention to yourself.
No, it didn't. Because if I would have, I would have been busted a long time
right
ago.
Away. Yeah.
Because, you know, they created a task force that was called the Freeway Task Force.
Specifically for you.
Specifically
damn,
to
I read about
me.
That in Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah, that's on Wikipedia.
You on Wikipedia.
Now, speaking of that, because I want to definitely get into that as well, because your name is almost synonymous with CIA, with Ronald
Contras.
Reagan, with Nicaragua.
Yeah,
how did this come about?
Well, it was this reporter named Gary Webb from the San Jose Mercury News,
mm-hmm.
and he was following my old drug supplier, you know, trying to figure out who this guy was, what was he doing, how did he do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, how was this guy avoiding prosecution for all these years,
uh-huh.
and in his research, he ran into me.
Okay.
And we struck up a friendship, and he told me he was writing a story, and we just start working together.
Okay, and damn, okay. So yeah, I'm not gonna get into any more detail on that because I don't want Ronald Reagan's people coming down to T Radio V and fucking shit up.
I have a question because I know you said, and you know, and you do. You seem like I just told Dusty a little while ago. You're such a down to earth guy. You really are, and you know, you're total like your energy is really cool and everything. And I believe that you weren't into all of the flash, but you had to have bought something. Tell me what's the craziest thing you bought that you were like, it's stupid, but it's worth it. You know, like just something like...
A theater.
No shit.
A movie
damn.
Theater.
Dang.
Yeah,
and you just go whenever, kick everyone the hell out and be like, I'm going to watch whatever the fuck I want.
I wanted to create a West Coast Apollo. You know,
really?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I
kind of
felt bad about not capitalizing on the rap, on hip hop, like I should have.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I should have been the king of hip hop.
Because you were there mm-hmm. at the forefront. This early yeah. 80s is when it exploded.
Let me tell you,
and speaking of that, you funded, and this is what I fucking found amazing, you funded kind of in a roundabout way Anita Baker's first album.
I gave Otis Smith the $600,000 to finance her project.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why didn't you go into hip hop? Did you not think it was going to
I had a decision, like, do I go with DJ Pooh?
Uh-huh.
and do a hip hop album, or do I go with Otis Smith, Dick Griffey?
Oh, bigger names. DJ Pooh wasn't as big. He hadn't worked with Ice Cube or anybody at that level yet.
Exactly. And then when I went in their offices, they had like the platinum and the gold records.
DJ Pooh was probably in the garage or something, you know what I mean?
Oh, man, I go over to the house, and it's crazy, right? Because I meet Dre a couple years ago for the first time.
Dr. Dre? Okay.
Yeah, so, and I go over to his house, and we sit in his house, and he's like, man, the day you came over there with DJ Pooh, I was sitting there.
Really?
Oh, no shit.
Wow.
He just didn't recognize
that's
him.
That's crazy, yo.
So, you know, when I look at it, and I was like, wow, you know, you had all those guys there. Right there. You were right there. And, you know, their project would have been a lot cheaper to finance than with Anita Baker's. And then I had all the independent distribution at that time. You know, I had Otis and Dick Griffey would have did anything that I wanted them to do.
Anything, man. Damn.
So, you know, both of them rest in peace. But, you know, I was right there, man. And I
think you had a decision to make, and you went with the more logical one. Because the other one was more of a risk.
Yeah, it wasn't. And they both told me that hip-hop wasn't here to stay. But I got...
I remember
like so many songs.
I got Dr. Dre's son signed right now, Curtis Young.
There you go, man. Curtis
Young. What's
up? Curtis Young, man. So, yeah, hip-hop is still here, man. And
so what happened to the theater?
I lost it when I went to prison.
Man.
Damn. So I kind of want to talk about that in the next segment of how, like, who... I get, you know what? Let's get on to now. Who do you know the source of who, I guess, turned you in? Or was it just your name was just already out there, you know, and it just was inevitable?
Well, my name was out. You know, I believe that they have what they call a pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to the top of the list and they work their way down.
Right, right.
Well, my name was already there. And when Danilo Blandon, who is my informant, the guy that set me up, when they came to him and told him that they wanted me, then he obliged, you know, by cooperating with him and set me up.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I believe I read too, he wasn't even deported after that, right?
No, I got him deported.
Yeah.
I got him deported.
Wikipedia, you need to update your shit.
From prison. He is deported now. Oh, but he wasn't at that time.
Yeah.
You know, the law is pretty clear. It says that if an alien gets convicted of a felony, they must be deported.
Uh-huh.
Well, in his case, he got convicted, but they didn't deport him. They allowed him to get a job with DEA.
Ain't that some shit?
And was working. And when he set me up, he shouldn't even been in this country.
It goes so deep, dude.
Yeah.
So
you got on that shit real quick. Huh?
Oh, man. And then this guy, Tejas, he should have been fired, but they demoted him at least. You know, I had to settle for the demotion. Well, he's the guy that, for INS, that doctored up his green card and gave it to him. You know, I don't know how this guy is still an INS agent, you know, after he had doctored
basically
up.
He forged documents.
But he
documents.
Said he made a mistake. Oh, I made a mistake. I didn't know he was a convicted felon.
Wow, yeah, come on, dude. Please.
I didn't know. Well, almost, I
he got on the witness stand. He got on a federal courthouse and said that he didn't know that this guy was a convicted felon.
Wow, dude. Damn.
Oh, shit.
All right, we have one more segment with Mr. Rick Ross, who's enjoying my choice of music. Thank you very much.
Turn it up. That's my man.
Yeah. This is some LA shit right here. We're sitting here with Freeway Rick Ross. I am
Dusty
Angel.
That's old school,
yeah. That is Heidi. I kind of want to touch on this just for a quick bit, but where are you in the process with the rapper Rick Ross, who took your name and made millions and millions of dollars off of it? I know there was some legal action going on. Where are you at the moment with that?
Yeah, well, we just came from the California Supreme Court, and they ruled against us.
Okay.
They said that he turned my name into a character, I think is what they said.
Wow.
And
wow.
And by that happening...
After all the shit you've been through, how does... Oh, that must piss you off. Go ahead. I'm sorry, man. It pisses me off, and I'm not even you.
Yeah.
So, look, he's over here all chill.
So, you know, I'm not surprised, though. You know, whenever they open their arguments, the first thing they would say is, the big bad drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
So, you know, once you sell drugs in this country right now, it's such a stigma to it that... once you do that, then you don't really have rights anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that people can trample over you.
You're the bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're bad forever. You know, once you do that, you can never get that jacket off of you.
Mm-hmm. How have you gotten that from the community? Because the community has embraced you so well.
Well, you know, most of the people in the community, they understand.
Okay.
You know, they're there. They're at that line where they're like, I'm ready to cross that line myself.
Mm-hmm. You know, they understand the frustration.
I can see myself crossing that line, you know. Yeah. So they understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more so the people who are up in the echelon.
Upper echelon, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, the ones that have never had to suffer, so they don't know what it's like to go hungry, to not have. Of course, it's easy for them to point mm-hmm. a finger and say, you're bad, yeah. you know, yeah. for what you're doing.
Exactly.
But I have a question because mm-hmm. I was really surprised that the community has welcomed you back. While you were involved in that industry, did you give back to the community?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I did what, and one of my attorney, shout out to him, Antonio Moore.
Boop, boop.
He brought it to my attention is what I did is when I started buying cocaine, kilos of cocaine was like $75,000, $80,000 a kilo.
Okay.
I brought keys down to $10,000.
Wow, 10 a key.
10 a key.
Yeah.
And what I did is I didn't keep the people who got their drugs from me at $50,000 a kilo. No, mm-hmm. I brought them down to $15,000 a kilo.
Damn. Kind of like the Walmart. I mean, you know, to give it a, you know what I'm saying, stamp, it's like the Walmart
absolutely.
Of cocaine, right?
I think that's yeah. what LA Times said.
Oh, did they? There you go. See? Damn,
you're so
LA
smart.
Time. Didn't
Dusty.
Even know it.
So clever.
So I shared it with everybody because mm-hmm. everybody that I felt that was selling drugs with me, I considered them my friend or my family.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see them have money just like I wanted to have money.
Okay, yeah.
Which I think is very yeah. unlike your typical drug dealer who want, you know, who is territorial
they
and they will do whatever the hell they have to do to keep the money
yeah. Yeah.
monopolized. So mm-hmm. you were into helping.
And overcharge you. You know, mm-hmm. I've known guys to like run it with an iron fist and, mm-hmm. and overcharge their people.
Yeah.
Damn. Instead of being fair with them and letting them have money, you know.
Yeah.
They felt like all the money should come to themselves.
Now, did those people remember you, you know, when shit went down?
Well, you know, when you're selling drugs and the people around you, when I first failed, I was mad because mm-hmm. nobody was there for me to help me and to help me out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But after I was there for a while, I started to understand that they were fleeing not only because they didn't want to be around me, but because they were afraid.
Damn. I can't believe this interview's over, man.
Man, this was good.
I got a present for you guys. I want to give you guys a present.
Another one, Rick? We get a present from Mr. Rick
yeah.
Ross?
I heard you say it was your 80th anniversary. And
yeah, we don't look a day over 20.
See, that? Mr. Ross gives me an anniversary present and
oh,
you don't.
Yeah.
Oh,
the real Rick Ross is not a rapper, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going to rock
yeah.
the shit
oh,
out of
hell
that.
Yeah. My size, too. And it's American Apparel.
Hey, Emma, hey, can
Mr.
I get one
Ross?
For my sister?
Mr. Ross rocking American Apparel.
Can I get one for my sister?
Can we get one for my man in the control room? He asked if he doesn't mind. He's a huge. Thank you, Mr. Ross.
You're
the man. Thank you so much. I really,
you,
really
Ross.
Appreciate it.
I'm going to give you a hug.
Yeah.
We
uh-oh.
I don't do
uh-oh.
No handshakes.
Uh-oh, y'all.
It's going down after it. Mr. Ross, we have to have you back maybe someday in the
yes,
future. We'd
please.
Love to have
my
you
book
back.
Is coming out in March.
There you go. I was going to say, Puff something. What do you got
yeah,
coming
yeah.
up?
My book is coming out in March. My documentary is coming out, I think, in June. Hey, y'all can hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, Freeway Rick, Facebook, Freeway Rick. Hit that like button, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Follow me, I'll follow you back.
Yes.
I ain't going to be one of them where you follow them and they'll follow you back. You hit me, I got you.
There you go. Hit me and I hit
you. And get
you, back.
You one of these t-shirts. Get you one of these
right.
Real Rick Ross is not a rapper t-shirts. They hot.
Yes, there you go.
They come in a variety of colors.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. And make sure